Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by your name. I have called you by your name. You are mine, says the Lord. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overflow you. When you walk through the fire, you shall not be burnt, nor shall the flame scorch you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel. I just want you to hear that. The Holy One of Israel. The Holy One of Israel. The Holy One. He is holy. And he causes you to be holy. Because he is holy. You are holy. He makes you holy in his presence. In the beauty of holiness, he makes you holy. He's the Holy One, Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt for your ransom, Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Since you were precious in my sight, you have been honored, and I have loved you. Therefore, I will give men for you. That means he's going to give you souls to bring into his kingdom. I will give men for you, people for your life. Fear not, for I am with you. Fear not, says the Lord, for I am with you. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, says the Lord, I have formed him. Yes, I have made him. It says, bring out the blind people who have eyes and the deaf who have ears. Let all the nations be gathered. He says, you are my witnesses. You are my witnesses. He says, I am the Lord, your Holy One. This is out of Isaiah 43. He says, he makes a way in the sea. That's the sea of humanity, and a path through the mighty waters. He says, do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The Lord says, for you are a chosen generation. I just want you to hear this with your spirit. Have it be so emblazoned upon your heart how honored you are. For shame and dishonor, he gives you a double portion of honor. The things from the past, he has covered with the blood. They're so covered that he does not have any remembrance of that. He calls you a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people. The people are not going to understand you always. That you should show forth the praises of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. He has placed the wellspring of life of Christ himself within us through the Holy Spirit. And he's saying it's our time to break out. Break out. Break out of our comfort zone. Break out of compromise. Break out of shrinking back. He's saying, step out on the waters with me. He wants us to walk out into the deep, that you go swimming in the living waters. And in that there is a flow of the Holy Spirit, that there is no restriction when you step out in him and you allow him to lead you everywhere that he's taking you. When you say, yes, Lord, here I am. I am yours. I will go. Let it be done according to me, according to your word, as you have spoken. You know, we had so many wonderful, wonderful teachings that have been deposited into every heart here, and that it's been sealed by the Holy Spirit, and he'll cause it to be a remembrance to you, even in the days to come when you have need of it. You heard about the things from the past, you know, when we had our drunkenness and the revelings and our dance with the devil, but no more. He's bringing us into such a place of holiness that the holiness that you wear will be so beautiful and so attractive and becoming that people will be drawn to your light. They'll be drawn to who you are. And, you know, we were speaking about Esther, you know, who came forth as an orphan child, someone who was so seemingly insignificant and such an ordinary young woman of God, but called her out of that place. And she was raised up under Mordecai, and she was brought before, she was brought before King Ahasuerus because the woman Vashti that he was married to, he was a great king in that time. He had an enormous kingdom and he was the son of Darius. This was in 483 BC. And he had such an enormous empire at that time that covered Turkey and it covered Iran and modern day Persia and all of that area. And he had such great wealth and everything that he wanted. He would bring his officials and they would have feasting of banquets for up to 6 months because he wanted to put on display his power and his wealth. And the time came when he had all of his officials before him and all of the great men of that time gathered in the time of this feast. And he called upon Vashti and he's never been denied. But when she denied him, the speculation is that she was being required and summoned to just wear her crown and her crown only. And she refused him. And he refused her to come in and he banished her from the kingdom by removing her from that office that she had. There was a time that he brought forth, there were 400 young women that were being brought before him. And, you know, it was kind of interesting because it was almost like the first beauty pageant, you know, and they were all brought out in all their beauty and everything that they had to offer him. And there was just such a parading and such a display of all the beauty of those young women at that time. But it was Esther who won his heart out of that place of humility and meekness, and her strength would come. There would come that time of testing of her strength and who she was created to be before the king. And she had favor in his eyes. You know, when you have favor, it opens up the hearts of kings. When you go out, that when you have that favor upon you, when you're witnessing, when you have that favor upon you, it surrounds you and opens up the doors that no man can open. That favor that he places upon you. And you know, I was just really meditating on that time that of Esther when she was being raised up by Mordecai. And he taught her and trained her like a father. He adopted her. And he taught her the ways of their Jewish customs. And that time, shortly after she was reigning with him, that she was crowned queen, Haman rose up. And there's a spirit of Haman that seeks to eradicate the Jewish people that came generationally through the Amalekites. And that generational desire, that hatred for the Jewish people, it's come through so many times, even to try to wipe out all of the Jewish people, because Satan knew that Jesus would come through the Jewish people, and he's tried to cut off the working of the Lord Jesus because of what he was going to do to bring people to himself. And so when he was trying to cut off all of the people, he couldn't succeed because the Lord had a plan even in the midst of that to bring that protection upon the Jewish nation. And when she went before him, she knew that she would perish. And she said, if I perish, then I perish. She was willing to lay down her life for her people. She had called a fast for 3 days and she sought the face of the Lord for that favor to come upon her, because as she was going before the Lord, just like when we go before our Lord, he has that open veil and he summons us up to come into the high places with him. And she took that risk and she went before the king and he extended his scepter to her and invited her to come in. And she prepared a banquet for Haman, and she had wisdom from God, and she knew what to do when she was separating him and preparing him, because she was appealing to his pride. You know, the Lord speaks much about the crowns in the Bible. He speaks about the crown of pride. And that pride, when it's high and lofty and lifted up in the eyes of men who seek after position and power, the Lord says that he'll have that last laugh. He'll bring them down and bring them low. And so the very thing that he tried to do in setting up Mordecai, to bring him down out of his hatred, because he would not bow down to him when he would pass through the gates. He refused to bow down to him. And when she called that banquet, she appealed to his pride through the wisdom that the Lord gave her to come and to dine with the king and queen. And when she made it known through the appeal of her heart, she asked her king that he would bring that salvation not only to her but to her people, because if she were to remain silent at that time, the Lord would raise up another deliverer. And through that boldness in her heart, she was prepared to lay down her life for her people. And we're being called to lay down our life for others. And so that crown of pride, the very thing that he put on display, that crown was taken off of him. And he tried to render that verdict, that the Jewish people, that he wanted to wipe them all out. And he had persuaded the king to seal a decree of the law into the land. And when he decreed that, it could not be relinquished, because by the law of Persian times, that once it was set into place, it was established. But when she made that appeal to her king, and he heard the cry of her heart and the appeal that she made, because the Lord hears us, the king hears us, the appeal of our heart when we go before him, so did King Xerxes her when she made that appeal for the salvation of her people, because the Lord is always going to raise up a deliverer. And so when she went before him, he allowed the men to go in and to warn all of the people and allow them to fight for their lives. And they were not cut off from what the Lord had allowed for them to do in fighting, and all of their enemies were slaughtered. Because when the enemy rises up against them, the Lord raises up that standard, and he's not going to allow the enemy to defeat us. And so he's causing us in this hour to rise up. He's given us so many crowns. And I was just thinking about that covering. And even when we're talking about Adam and Eve, when they lost their covering and they had to be clothed from the Lord through that sacrifice, through the blood that was shed. And when that introduction of that covenant was made, he allowed them to know that they had separation from God because of their disobedience. And when that disobedience came in, it passed down through all generations. But the Lord knew, even through the lineage that would be chosen, that Jesus would rise up. And he already had a plan of redemption for us. And he speaks of crowns. The Lord was telling me about crowns, and I was just searching out all the different crowns that are in the Bible. And he speaks about the crown of glory. He speaks about the crown of pure gold. For you meet him with the blessings of goodness. You would set a crown of pure gold upon his head. He speaks about the crown of glory that shall deliver thee. He speaks about that ornament of grace, the crown of righteousness. It's not our righteousness, but it's his righteousness. He speaks about the crown of thorns that Jesus endured, that we would have the mind of Christ. He endured that suffering so that we could have the crown of life when we endure temptation and when we overcome temptation, when we overcome evil with good. You know, through the disobedience that the Israelites would enter into through turning their back on God, the Lord always had a delivery, always had one who was going to redeem them from that destruction. They would go and enter into covenants with other nations. And those were ungodly alliances, unholy alliances. And he wants us to be aware of those relationships that influence us in an ungodly way, and to break fellowship with those. Because every time that they would stray and turn their back on God, there would be a judgment that would come upon them. And they would, by that judgment, they would begin to cry out to God once again and begin to ask for forgiveness and have that repentance of their hearts, that they would turn from their wicked ways and follow after him. And so when we have that crown of glory that's set on our head, it's not done by anything other than by him. He's given us that crown that we would wear, not the crown that these beauty pageants would have to offer, that they put on their talent and their performance, and they've had all these pageants that have come forth, and that's what they're doing. It's like giving the best that the world has to offer. And even when I look into that, there's such an emptiness in that, because the world can't make you beautiful. Your clothing can't make you beautiful. It's being adorned with grace. It's being adorned with humility. It's being adorned with the Spirit of the living God. And when we allow ourselves to go into his presence and see him face to face, then we have no more shame from our past. We have no more dishonor. There's no more reproach. He's removed that from all of us. And when we think about the things of the past, it has no hold on us. Because the enemy, all of our enemies have been slaughtered. They've been destroyed and put under our feet. He can no longer call that reproach. And even when people hate you without a cause, and then they rise up against you, whether brother or sister or a family member, when they turn against you, when you turn into the Lord, and you don't return evil for evil, you don't try to go after them and justify yourself and have them hear your side of the story. When you allow the Lord to be your defender and your vindication, that as you step back, you allow Him to be your protection. He's the one who brings destruction to all those words that were spoken. And through all these years that I've done, and sozo, and the things that I have learned, there's been such a mighty anointing that's risen up as I've leaned into the Lord. Because once you've been made clean yourself, when He cleanses you, and He allows you to be seen as that holiness and that voice of the Lord, it's that voice, that trembling waters, it causes the enemy and the terror of the enemy to flee. In every direction, when you stand, you submit yourself to the Lord. You resist the devil, and he flees from you. And he flees from you in terror. And there have been times when the wicked one would try to rise up and manifest. But when you defy him and you shut him down, because he's given us that authority that comes from on high. And when you separate yourself and you allow the Lord to move through you, there's such an anointing that takes place that breaks every chain and every spiritual bondage and every yoke and every generational curse. And that when we begin to look into the mirror, we can look into the eyes of the Lord. We can look into the love that He has for us and receive that. And in that, flow out of that love and forgive those that have hurt us and that have rejected us and that have hated us without a cause. Because in this time when persecution comes upon the church, that's when the church rises up and is the brightest. When she does not draw back, but she runs into the Lord and into His grace and into His glory. And when we allow Him to so fill us to overflowing, that we drink deeply, we give Him that drink, then He causes everything to wash away. Causes everything to wash away and to be cleansed. He perfects everything. He causes that perfect love that comes from Daddy God. You know, and many of us, we may not have had that godly role model as a father. You know, I was born in Iceland. I'm a foreigner, like probably many of us, you know, but I'm a first generation child out of Iceland, and I claim Iceland for the Lord. And that's my territory. That's my birthright to call that in. You have a birthright where you were born. You can claim that for your home and your household and for your people and for your nation, just like Esther did. She went before the king and she interceded on behalf of her nation. And even when evil rises up and people turn their hearts from the Lord, as you release and decree over your nation and over your people, the Lord hears you. And He's doing a work and He's orchestrating things, and even things that you do not even have knowledge of. But there's a set place that you were born, a set time that you've gone to certain places, and that you've come here for this time and this place and this hour, that you would be changed and transformed. And even as I was growing up, you know, with my mother and my father, they went through a divorce, and I my father was left in Iceland. And my mother took us for that period of time to Southern California. And we grew up for just a few years there. And but my mother ended up taking us back to Iceland, and my dad was in California. And when I was in Iceland, that's when my stepdad came into our lives. And as a young girl, you're just looking for that covering and that protection. And you're looking for that father that is to be the one who raises you up in that secure environment where you feel loved and protected. But when we moved from Iceland, we went to Germany, we went to California, and that's where I went to high school. And while I was in high school, I just felt so separated from my natural father, there was such a distance, and I always viewed God as so far away. But when my stepdad was there, the betrayal that took place when I was 13 years old through his sexually molesting me, that caused that shame to come upon me and not feel safe. And even though it was just that one time, that shame entered into my heart. And when I allowed myself to begin entertaining all that the world had to offer, it was only leading to emptiness. There wasn't anything that could satisfy the soul. And the Lord allow you to go through that time of wilderness. He'll allow you to go through that desert. He'll allow you to be feeling that separation from Him, so that when you come into that place, when you surrender your heart to Him, when you awaken to His love, and you understand His perfect love that casts out all fear, that self-hatred and insecurity and rejection, and you begin to feel and experience the love that comes from God and only God, then He brings you into His holy chamber, out of the world system, into the inner court, and into the Holy of Holies. And when you sit there at His feet and you allow Him to minister to you and remove all of the shame of your past, and you surrender everything, He causes a new beauty to rise up within you. That He changes you. He brings you out of that, the ashes, and He causes you to be clothed with royalty. He puts that crown upon your head, and He has you walk in the dignity of who He is. It's no longer that youth and that former self that you tried to present. You know, all the masks are taken off. And that masquerade and trying to be this for this group of people and trying to be this for that group of people and these people and trying to fit in with your peers. And you start developing personalities for different places and different people that you find yourself in company with. But when the Lord is causing the wholeness of who you are to come back together again, then you can walk with confidence that comes from Him. That comes from Him. Because He has called us up to be His daughters, daughters of the King, the Most High God. And that's what I really have been longing for everybody to know and to experience more than anything during this time, is that we are His daughters and we have access to Him. Just when we call upon Him, He's there. He's right inside of us. And He sees us as royalty. He holds us so precious in His heart, that He laid His life, He gave His Son for us. And so I just want to just bring out some of these crowns. When you think about the crown, there's the crown, and it's a means of a covering. And you think about the different, it's a form of a headdress. You think about the different kinds of covering that different people have. You think about soldiers, they have their helmets. You have football players, it's their protection, they have helmets. And it represents the role and the function that they are. And who they are, and sometimes even the responsibility. And there's been many kings that have come forth, and they wear their crowns, but these are temporary crowns. The Lord is calling us to give Him all of our crowns, to lay our crowns at His feet when that trumpet sounds, and when He comes and He redeems us and He brings us up into that heavenly throne room. And you can have that access now. And He says that He's given us, He says that thou shalt be a crown of glory, which means Tifereth, bravery, beautiful, honor, majesty in the hand of the Lord, and a royal diadem in the hand of your God. He says in Isaiah 62, you shall no more be termed forsaken, neither shall your land any more be termed desolate or destitute, but you shall be called Hephzibah. Hephzibah, that means the one that He loves. Hephzibah. And your land, Beulah, which means married, because He is our husband. And He is our covering. He's the one, you're taken by your husband, and you become His, and you become one with Him. For the Lord delights in you, and your land shall be married and shall be fruitful. This is the land. You shall bear much fruit in Him. He says, for I have set watchmen on your walls. Watchmen are angels. He has angels watching over us, guarding us and protecting us in our homesteads. He says, O Jerusalem, they shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent, even as Esther could not be silent. He's telling us because he esteems women so much. Do not be silent in this hour. He so esteems women. He so esteems his daughters. He so loves his daughters, and he's causing them to rise up on the wings of an eagle. He says, indeed, the Lord has proclaimed to the end of the world, say to the daughter of Zion, surely salvation, liberty, deliverance, prosperity, safety is coming. Behold, his reward is with him and his work before him. They shall call them the holy people, the redeemed of the Lord, and you shall be called sought out, a city not forsaken. And so with the crowns he's given us, he says, blessed is the man that endures temptation, for when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to them that love him. Psalm 45:6 says, your throne, O God, your throne is forever and ever. Your throne is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. And when we divorce ourselves and renounce the things of this world and any association or any alliance with anybody that would influence us or try to bring us into the place of temptation, we refuse it. We refuse to come under fear. We refuse to come under insecurities. We refuse to compare ourselves to another because he loves you with an everlasting love. There's no one like you that's ever been created that has your voice, that has your sound, that causes him to turn and look your way. There's only that one that he loves, and that's you. You're his Hephzibah. He's your father. He's your love. He's the lover of your soul. And as you pronounce this, you step more and more into who he calls you to be. And you take off all of the dirty garments and the filthy rags of the past. And you have that robe of righteousness, as Sharon was sharing earlier, because that's how he wants us to see ourselves, is in his eyes of love. There's only that love of the Father that causes us to be secure. Even though our natural fathers, maybe they were busy working, or maybe they were too busy to truly pour their love into your heart in the way that a godly father should, to have you know that safety and that protection, and then that your mother representing the Holy Spirit, showing the nurturing and the love and building you up and exhorting you and teaching you the way that you should go, that you will not depart from the word of the Lord, from the training that you receive as a young child. So I thank you, Heavenly Father, for every heart that's here. Father God, I thank you that the past is covered with the blood of Jesus. Father God, that you have no remembrance of it. Father God, any time that they've been persecuted or rejected or lied about or slandered or hated without a cause, Lord, I thank you, Father God, it's your love that covers every person here. Lord, that we see ourselves as royalty, that we see ourselves the way that you do. And even with the fire that comes from your eyes, when we look into your eyes, as Joanne was saying, it's not the feet, it's not the toes, it's in your eyes that we look. It's the burning of your eyes that causes the purification of our soul, man. That everything that has had the ties into the world are severed and broken off, because he wants us to go into such a heavenly realm with him and to bring down all the things, our full inheritance here, and distribute it freely to everyone that has need, that we will cause the eyes to be opened up. We'll cause deaf ears to be opened up. We'll cause those that are brokenhearted to be healed. You'll give us an anointing. Without fear, there'll be a fearlessness that'll come upon you. As you receive that complete healing of the Lord, he's going to have you step out and bring others into that place of salvation, that they be set free as you've been set free, that a boldness will come upon each and every one of you. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. He's causing a newness to rise up.